Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight for a relaxed show again because I have a low voice. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Nancy Pelosi's husband arrested for misdemeanor DUI. Apparently, this guy who is very rich because he makes calls on the stock market with the knowledge of what's going to happen in Congress under Nancy Pelosi's leadership. He has been arrested for drinking and driving 0.08 or higher in the Napa County. Since the bail for Paul, who has been married to Nancy since 1963, was set at a paltry $5,000, a pittance for the multimillionaire, he was released at 7:26 shortly after he was booked at 4:13 a.m. on Sunday morning. Kovikov says, all that money, hire an Uber. Yeah, there shouldn't be a reason why you need to drive drunk when you have that much money. You could have a driver easily. All right, and another meme that I found on 4chan before we dig into the news. I didn't know about this meme. I think it's a great meme. It's to explain the Second Amendment. A well-balanced breakfast being necessary to the start of a healthy day, the right of the people to keep and eat food shall not be infringed. Who has the right to food? A well-balanced breakfast or the people? It's very interesting because it's a rephrasing, of course, a parallel phrasing of the Second Amendment, because there are lots of leftists out there who say the Second Amendment rights apply to the right to the militia, to the well-regulated militia. But you can see from that sentence that it doesn't make sense. Definitely, it was meant to apply to the right of the people, not the right of the well-regulated militia. So interesting meme that I didn't know about. Dino Legovic says, 11 a.m. in Sydney, Australia, raining again. Good morning, all. Steak for my breakfast, please. Yes, I'm totally for steak at the breakfast. I think it's a great item, if you can. Or as Firestarter says, I don't eat breakfast. That is the other option. I also agree with this one. Although, you know, sometimes I won't eat a breakfast and then randomly during the day or during the evening, I will eat eggs and bacon, the kind of thing you would have at the breakfast. To me, we shouldn't lock the goodness of the eggs and bacon breakfast to only the early morning. All right, if you would like to support the show, use the Odyssey Super Chats. The dollar button is right below the regular chat, and it's the right way to support the show. And if you have questions, don't hesitate to send them to me. You can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Today we learned that the DOJ is unsatisfied with, the mayor of Uvalde, unsatisfied with the response of the police to the shooting that has happened in an elementary school, has demanded that the DOJ investigates. So the Justice Department has published a statement on the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. The U.S. Department of Justice today released the following statement. At the request of Uvalde Mayor, the U.S. Department of Justice will conduct a critical incident review of the law enforcement response to the mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas. The goal of the review is to provide an independent account of law enforcement actions and responses that day and to identify lessons learned and best practices to help first responders prepare for and respond to active shooter events. The review will be conducted with the Department's Office of Community-Oriented Policing. As with prior Justice Department, after-action reviews of mass shootings and other critical incidents, this assessment will be fair, transparent, and independent, blah, blah, blah. This will only be a report, legally and technically, so I don't think this will lead to criminal prosecution of the policemen who, even if they have made errors, because it's not because you make an error that it's necessarily criminal. However, one possibility is that in this report there would be description of actions and there would be digging deeper that eventually could lead some parents, perhaps, or the school, or there could be some civil entity that starts suing the policeman for their response. So we'll have to follow this and see how it develops. A situation against the shooter, to me, is a very complex one, and I personally don't blame, and I'm not pissed at the police. They made a call. They thought in front of the door. Well, at first they had a. It seems that a lot of the time that was spent was actually spent looking for the keys or for some way to enter, because it was a reinforced door. And so I'm personally not offended by the work of the police. I think there may have been some errors and some things that couldn't be made better next time, but it's a very tough call to make, and I think they are also entitled to not have to put their own bodies and their own lives at risk if they don't want to. I think it's a legal right in the US. A lot of people are critical of this legal right, but you cannot ask someone's job to be to die, you know? John Drake says the shotgun is the key. Terrible mistake. Okay. Go away says CJF agrees with me. Go away was saying, okay, I hadn't seen your message. He says, Jeff, let's not jump to conclusions. Imagine if one of those cops was your son or brothers. Would you want him to get into an active shooter scene and risk dying? I didn't think so. Well, it's interesting that you said this message before I even said it, because yeah, we think alike in this. I don't think that the police can be forced to sacrifice their lives for the community. It's a delusion. Precisely what we should fight in society is the delusion of safety, the delusion that, oh, well, the police got this in their own hands and it's going to be fine. This is precisely why today, in response to this shooting, you should totally be for, you should understand the purpose of the Second Amendment here. And you should understand that by impeding on the rights of the Second Amendment on specific locations with local rules, with school rules, with city rules, you are creating environments of massive potential targeting of victims. And you should understand this in light of the fact that the police was unable to do anything in this case. You should understand that even with a perfectly trained and perfect police, there will still be a space of actions in which you are the ultimate only person capable of defending yourself. So that's why the Second Amendment exists. But I don't know about the Texas schools, but I'd be surprised that children can bring guns in those schools, right? So then we're faced with the problem. Well, we create these brick and mortar buildings where we send easily victimizable children that don't have the right to self-defense, they don't have guns. And maybe it's not a clever thing to make these institutions in the first place. Maybe we should go back to homeschooling. Firestarter says, like three times in my life, people have said, I'm weird to eat eggs for dinner. Oh no, when you have a good source of free eggs, especially people who are raising chicken, you will know that you just eat eggs whenever, because it's always good, it's always protein, and it's always super easy to make. It's not a complex recipe. So, yeah, egg eating all day, no problem. Neon Revolt on Gab says, this is insane, but of course the pedo shower rapist wants this. K-12 schools must allow boys into girls' private areas to obtain federal funds for lunches, breakfast, and snacks. The Biden administration announced this month a U.S. Department of Education spokesman told The Federalist the Biden administration's press releases from several agencies announcing this policy will be followed by formal rulemaking in June. Under this new demand, establishments that accept any federal food funding, including food stamps, must also allow males who claim to be female to access female private spaces, such as showers, bathrooms, and sleeping areas. Such organizations must also follow protocols such as requiring staff to use inaccurate pronouns to describe transgender people and allowing male staff to dress as women while on the job. Absolute insanity. We need a hero to save us. Of course, that's what the Democrats do, and that's what the right wing should do when they get in power. We don't do this as aggressively. But you should make the rules such that basically no federal funds go to any of the Democrat states. You just punish them. That's what they're doing with us. What they're doing with this is they're saying you're going to submit to the federal standard for transgender treatment or you get zero money. So what is going to happen with a school in South Dakota or Texas? They're not going to be able to to act freely within their own local rules and local norms. Now, I don't know what the schools will do. I don't know. I don't know if they will revolt and say we don't need the food stamp funding, or will they just submit and say, or perhaps they will bring the case to the Supreme Court and say they cannot use money to. That is meant for food to essentially extort us into living a LGBT lifestyle the way we don't want to live. Perhaps that would be the best outcome, a good Supreme Court case. Someone wants me to up the volume, I can try, but my voice is weak, so it's not going to get perfect. Hello, test. Yeah, that's pretty much as high as the line can go without becoming uncomfortable. So unfortunately, without my full voice, it's the best we can do. I upped it a little bit, but I cannot go further than this. We are going to shoot you graveyard dead. Florida sheriff warns potential school shooters. I don't think it's a very good strategy to be provoking people here. I don't think this guy fully understands the psychology of the shooter. The shooter is not turned off by threats. The shooter is not turned off because, in fact, he sees threats as providing information, allowing him to make a better shooting, to perfect his techniques, to go around whatever obstacle you want to put on in front of him. So I think that by saying, he was saying, this is the last thing you'll see before we put a bullet through your head if you're trying to hurt our children. And he was holding a picture of two heavily armed officers equipped with AR-15 style rifles. The thing with shooters is they are not even turned off by their own death. They know they're going to die. And so you're not going to intimidate them with such a stance. To the contrary, what they will say is, well, okay, so then I have to prepare in order to act very quick. Covey says, Florida is very gun-friendly. Stand your ground. Okay. Yes. Stand your ground, sure. But what about the castle defense? Do they have this in Florida? Because I think that's an important one. Only criminals are going to have guns. Joe Rogan warns against confiscation.
I wrote this thing once that I said this country has a mental health problem disguised as a gun problem. And that's what it is. It's
I don't know. Have we ever solved anything by designating it a mental disorder? I mean, that's a big question. are the pills that we give to people against psychiatric disorders. They certainly have demonstrated scientifically that some people enjoy them, that they are satisfied with the effect that they have. Some people enjoy antidepressants, some people enjoy anti-anxiety, etc. But I don't know that they have been evaluated for their potential to stop a shooting, because there's no such thing as a study on whether mental health interventions will reduce shootings. And I don't think they would, because it's not what the medical profession and the pharmaceutical profession is designed to address. And there's never going to be a sample allowing us to study this in depth. And there's never going to be funding to study this in depth. So I think that designating a problem of criminality as a mental health problem has limits. I don't think it's how we solve things. I think we might as well adopt the attitude that mental health is a human category. It's a human perception and a social one. When you adopt this perspective, you realize that you haven't stated a single fact when you start saying this person has a mental health problem. Go away, says Jeff. When I was in high school, there was an Asian kid. He wouldn't speak to anyone, including teachers. This was not long after the Virginia Tech shooting. My mom told me to avoid this kid and be on guard around him. Parents need to educate their children on avoiding potential school shooter. Well, I don't think this would have played out in this particular case here. I don't think that people could had a chance to avoid Salvador Ramos. There are very little shootings where the shooting actually happens to the closed, the people who are close to the shooter. Sometimes the shooter will take the opportunity to shoot one or two people against whom he wanted revenge. But I don't think it's a relevant tip here in shootings in general. Thomas Howard says, good luck with confiscation. Everyone has seen what went on the last 2 years. Australians trying to escape from quarantine camps is not a thing gun owners in America are willing to put up with. I predict the line has already been drawn, but only time will tell. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if the Democrats do this, are tempted by doing it. I don't think that a major gun confiscation will be undertaken in America. There's been plenty of shootings. Someone was listing all of the shootings, and he was saying at each of these shootings, there's always people saying, well, now they're going to come for the guns, but we never see it happen. I think that the Democrats properly see a confiscation activity as being unrealizable, and they understand it. So they understand that their only game is on the long term in terms of restricting designs, restricting sales, making it a little bit harder every year. But they understand that they are far from the point where you could go into people's home and take their guns. So I don't think we have to be scared of mass confiscation. Demand for bulletproof backpacks surges after Texas school shooting. I didn't know it existed, but apparently there are these bulletproof backpacks. I guess they must be a little more heavy because they have a kind of blocking part here right in the back. Sure, makes sense. It will only protect your back, but if you are alerted to shots being initiated, at least you can turn your back away and run, and it may give you some protection here and there. Steve Stewart Williams on Twitter says a team of scientists in the US have accidentally created overly aggressive mutant hamsters following a gene editing experiment. They were trying to increase bonding and cooperation between the lovable little critters, but the opposite happened. Of course, you know that I'm against these experiments, gene modifications, especially for modifying social behavior. But I wanted to highlight another aspect of this discovery, this kind of accident. It's interesting to note that the overly aggressive ultimately stems from increasing the genes that they thought was linked to bonding and cooperation. Because I think it reflects a reality in human society. I think that in human society, leftists are kind of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They are motivated in their statement when they explain their philosophy. It's all around reducing harm, doing good, improving the world in every possible way, relieving of suffering, greater well-being. But you see the very same people that push these things get caught in the in private criminality of all kind, and you see the people pushing LGBT activist memes and ending up being sexual predators. I think there is something that Ted Kaczynski had put his finger on in terms of the link between violence and hyper-socialization. I think that ultimately, the hyper-social is the one who's potentially falling victim to a cycle of violence because they care so much about others that to the point where eventually they want to control the behavior of others and they want to hurt others when it doesn't turn their way. Go away, says Jeff. Can carrying a backpack that is too heavy during puberty exacerbate scoliosis? My God, that's a specific question. I have no idea. Scoliosis is a sideways curvature of the spine that most often is diagnosed in adolescence. While scoliosis can occur in people with conditions such as cerebral palsy, blah, 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 the cause of most childhood scoliosis is unknown. Well, I didn't even know about this term. Of course, I know about the concept that teenagers are often mocked for not holding good posture. But I wouldn't be surprised if someone has already a problem with his back, that any supplementary weight could eventually become problematic. I wouldn't be surprised, but I have no idea. Florida, 10-year-old boy arrested for alleged text threatening mass shooting. Sickening. Now is not the time to act like a little delinquent, the Lee County, Florida sheriff said in the wake of the Uvalde, Texas shooting. I think this case illustrates the increased scrutiny that will be applied in response to the shooting. People get more nervous. People do more reports. And institutions take these reports more and more seriously because they can't help but say, hey, look at this guy. He was threatening to make a shooting, and then he ended up doing a shooting. And so it's going to be increased scrutiny on these young offenders that make these empty threats or sometimes these serious threats. But ultimately, you're not going to fix the problem, even with this increased scrutiny. Because what will happen with this 10-year-old boy? First, at 10-year-old, he probably wasn't ready to become a shooter. But he's going to be punished for the threat. But this punishment will certainly not last for long. Eventually, he's going to become an adult, and then he will either do his shooting or not do his shooting. But there's no way we can keep this 10-year-old boy in jail for the rest of his life. So it's very hard to address the problem of shootings. I don't think that nervousness and increased scrutiny will fix it. Someone is asking, what school was it? It was the Patriot Elementary School in Cape Coral, Florida. Allegedly, he sent the threatening text. The school threat enforcement team was immediately notified and began analytical research. It's spectacular. They have basically, in Florida, they have a system for monitoring these potential threats. Isn't that fascinating? And so they immediately detect an issue. The problem is they're not going to be able to do much. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to give this boy some psychological support? If anything, if he's truly a psychopathic type of personality, it could make things worse. He's going to be annoyed that you tried to mind control him. He's going to feel like he's been the victim of some mind experiment or something. And then he's going to be even more pissed when he reaches 18 years old. So it's a tough one. What could we do to stop shootings? I say have less places where shootings could hurt a lot of people. EU to block seaborne Russian oil deliveries, not pipeline, to satisfy Hungary. So apparently Viktor Orban's Hungarian government recently likened a Russian oil ban to dropping a nuclear bomb on its economy. So what they've decided is to block certain types of oil delivery, but not the pipeline deliveries. So always half measures, you know. Europe doesn't seem to be truly into punishing Russia strongly to the point of its own cost, you know, by imposing cost on itself. And so they do these half measures, and ultimately what will happen? Well, there's going to be as much oil. It may cost a little more because the pipelines may be fully used, but it's going to end up in Europe, and Russia is going to end up with the profits. All this after 2-3 months of blah, 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 we're going to do this, we're going to hurt them very strong, didn't work. Zelensky signals Donbass could soon fall, indescribably difficult Russian onslaught. In a Saturday night speech, Zelensky gave his most dire assessment to date of the status of Ukraine forces in the eastern Donbass region, where for over at least the last 2 months, Russia has concentrated its forces. He described conditions there as difficult. He might be on the verge of losing the full region of Luhansk. So the Russia war of attrition is working, and they've done Mariupol, now they're doing Luhansk, and they're advancing on the Eastern Front. So it's working. It's working, and they will proceed, I guess, in this way, by focusing on a single point of advancement and then moving on to the next. We have seen a stack of tanks being sent from Melitopol. So those are tanks that are coming from Russia. They are on Russia-controlled territory, and they are T-72B tanks in southern Ukraine. So these will arrive as reinforcement. we've seen those are tanks deeper in Russia to the east, and we have a video of them advancing on some train. So there are reinforcements arriving, and it will get harder and harder for the east of Ukraine to be holding on to their positions. ZDez says, it's really too bad. Buffering has not been dealt with, and now the screen on Odyssey is taken over by ads that take over the entire screen. That is very surprising to me. I don't know. What about the other people on the chat? Do you have ads taking over the entire screen? That is not an experience I've seen from Odyssey, so I don't know that does. Are you on your phone? Maybe on the phone the app is not fully worked on, or is it possible that you have a virus, maybe? Silver Spider says that there's no ads on the Android app. Yeah, so it seems that there's some problem maybe with your computer. Maybe you should check your Google Chrome or whatever. All right, so we've seen some counter-offensives on the side of Russia. So I'm surprised by this because I had seen Russia withdraw in the south from Mykolaiv, and I thought, okay, maybe it's not their target at all. But in fact, they have continued to demilitarize by striking around the Mykolaiv region today. And another important point of progression, of course, is this point right here, Popasna, where this is the town that is getting fully isolated. They are still not fully isolated, but Russia is headed there. And it seems that Russia wants to close this part here and eventually do to this town what they've done to Mariupol, which is either you surrender or you will be living under the bombardments. So I think it's a target that means a lot because it allows Putin to complete eventually the Luhansk region, and perhaps then he can send forces to complete this region and perhaps lines of advancement here. But by any standard, the war is going slow, but is going in the direction of Russia. I mean, you have to credit Russia for taking here one-fifth of a country, maybe. One-fifth of a country where we haven't seen significant counter-offensives. And of course, the leftists and the pro-Ukraine, they love to look at the places where the counter-offensives have pushed the Russians back. But in the end, the Russians have accomplished a stable overtake of all of this red region here. And it looks like they are closing in on making progress in completing that block. Spindly Opinion says the Ukrainians need better retreat plans. Mariupol losing that many of their best soldiers. Yeah, that's another factor. This Ukraine doesn't seem to have a willingness to engage in honest negotiations, because at the beginning, the demand of Putin was, we want Luhansk and Donetsk. And it's like, you're going to end up not having Luhansk and Donetsk for sure. Why did Zelensky not take that deal? Well, then you start thinking about all of the money flows from America. Zelensky wouldn't have all these money flows if he had a peace agreement with Russia. So perhaps these money flows are so important that he can basically see his old country burn, and he's still incentivized at keeping the war up, which is extremely sad. And there should be a self-inspection here for America. I mean, we've never had this, so we won't have it. It's never the case that the American intelligence and government starts being introspective and thinking, oh, maybe we've done an error here. But you've created an incentive that has totally led to this war being a war that leads to a lot of suffering for the Ukrainian people. You've created an incentive in the Ukrainian elite by sending them so many money flows that the Ukrainian elite must be looking at this and saying, hey, we're making more money while at war than we ever will do in taxes. So can you imagine this? The USD coming in is probably higher than if you were to tax your own population 100%. So that's how you have societal elites losing their bond to serve the people that they're supposed to serve. It's because of these terrible incentives introduced by the willingness of Americans to help. John Drake says, it's being reported that Ukraine politicians and other big wheels are packing suitcases of cash and leaving the country by the Duran. Yeah, not surprising. I mean, you don't deposit money like this with basically no supervision, no condition, and think, oh, it's going to get to the right place. It's never getting to the right place. Never. Not when we do it in Africa, not when we do it in Ukraine, not even when you do it right here. even inside America, the same kind of phenomenon happens where people give or governments give to a given cause and it doesn't get to the bottom of the cause. Pineapple Platypotamus says, if enough teen boys say fuck the feds, that may be their worst enemy. Yes, very much the feds are after the American resistance to the feds. That's why they say, you know, the greatest threat in America is white terrorism. Gladius says, I think the point of Kiev was to fix Ukrainian forces there, which gave free rein to Russian forces in the south. Well, it looks more and more like this. I mean, the pro-Ukraine people will tell you, oh, that's Putin trying to save face. But the reality is the stated goal of this war was to protect DPR and LPR. And that's what Putin is headed to succeed at doing. So Popasna has been a location of progress. We've seen this red bubble getting bigger and bigger. And I think that the next big target and what the Ukrainians seem decided to defend is this city here, Sievierodonetsk. This will be the stand similar to Mariupol. But yeah, the problem is Russia encircles and then they give you no choice. You'll either die or you will be captured. And then they bring these soldiers in on the Russian side. So this increases the leverage on the side of Russia while they are making gains. Lendald says, guys, do not believe the rumors spread about Russia being weak. Russia is actually dangerously strong. I think reality is somewhere where you seem to point it. I don't know if they're that strong, but they're certainly stronger than they have displayed. Because we haven't seen nuclear weapons. We haven't seen massive destruction other than through continued artillery. Somehow I think Putin had a romantic conception of him being a warlord of the 20th century and trying to win this war the old way. I'm surprised, but that's what we seem to have. And also he had signed treaties saying we commit to limiting the expansion of nuclear war. So that was a few months before the war started. So perhaps by signing these treaties, Putin wanted to be certain that not only will I not use nuclear weapons, but I will set a moral standard for not using nuclear weapons. And that gives him free rein to go for his artillery strategy. A Roman lesson on inflation. That will be our last news item tonight. After two centuries of debasement, the Roman denarius ended up with no silver content. The decline of the empire was accompanied by increasingly costly bureaucracy, stifling the economy. It was a template for today. There are differences, but we share suffocating bureaucracy and the lack of specie in our currency systems. As Rome did for Nero onwards, we have lost the plot. A general deterioration in our sense of purpose is an additional factor. That is another aspect that links us to the fall of the Roman Empire. This currency debasement, the bureaucracy, and the increased totalitarianism and technocratism. So we are totally in the fall of the American Empire, as far as I'm concerned, and the recession that has already started and that may be becoming an official and serious recession very soon seems to be hitting strong. I think it will hit a lot of people, and hopefully it is so bad that the system crumbles, but unfortunately, I don't think so. I think we're still going to have a couple of decades of increasing totalitarianism by the American Empire. Lendalt Guntram says more than 10,000 Ukrainians are already prisoners of wars, and the number is growing daily. Russians lost to prisoner of war status are perhaps in the low thousands. We should expect similar structure concerning those killed in action. Yes, and I don't know how, I don't know if it's going to be leverage that becomes a nuisance for Russia or not, because you do have to pay for feeding them, but I guess that Russia must have a very minimal degree of care of its prisoner of war. So I don't know, is it a massive cost for Russia? Are they going to start being annoyed by having these prisoners of war? Or to the contrary, are they building up a super leverage which will allow them to get eventually what they want in Ukraine? I don't know, but we'll see what happens with them. Tillman says China has threatened to take out Elon's Starlink satellite if necessary. Yeah, well, they are satellites. I guess you can send jamming signals, I guess. We've seen some amount of jamming signals being used in Ukraine. I guess that's the only way you can really... well, of course, you can send missiles to the satellite. But I think that many countries are committed on treaties to not do that. Anti-satellite weapons have been banned, but you know, China could still do it, and we could still do it also. So we'll see. Yeah, personally, I wouldn't care if they attack satellites. I wouldn't care if countries do this. But it seems to be something that countries have decided was not a legitimate tactic of war. All right, that is it for tonight, Buzz. As you know and as you can hear, my voice is still weak. I'm going to try to take the maximum rest I can. Right now, I'm resting all day. So I'm not working on the greenhouse. I'm just relaxing and hoping that my voice will get corrected. And then we can get back to regular shows with just my normal voice. That's it. Much love. And see you all tomorrow.